Greetings and welcome to Conversations with Democracy, where Southern Africa's Democracy Works Foundation uncovers the successes and the challenges of initiatives underway to build democracies in Africa. Join us to find out about our work with our partners to build inclusive, equitable, and sustainable consensus democracy. In other words, democracies that work. I am Nomathemba Santawane. Today in our series, Bridging the Gap, Building Stronger Institutions and Democracy in Action. In this podcast, we will be following heroic stories of the individuals taking up their civic responsibility through the civil society participation in provincial legislature project. Co-founded by the European Union and the Westminster Foundation for Democracy, this project aims to enhance the interaction and accountability between the government and its civilians through civil society organizations. Here at Conversations with Democracy, we believe in sharing information. The Civil Society Participation in Provincial Legislature project is designed to enable civil society organizations to participate in provincial legislatures to activate community-driven oversight and the accountability to ultimately identify and address challenges faced by communities. It runs in Limpopo, Northern Cape, and the Northwest with the intention to establish and strengthen platforms of engagement between the civil society organizations and their elected representatives in the legislature, specifically with regards to health and community safety. Thank you for tuning in to Conversations with Democracy. On today's episode, we'll be hearing from a task team member from the Treatment Action Campaign. Join us as he unpacks his journey as civil society in the Civil Society Participation in Provincial Legislature project.
I'm Daniel Matebula, working at TAC as the Limpopo Provincial PTL Trainer. The role of the organization is to advocate for people living with HIV and other related diseases to access quality healthcare services. Treatment Action Campaign is a civil society movement aiming at a unified quality healthcare service or system which provides equal and affordable access to HIV prevention and treatment services for all. TAC engages in monitoring, advocacy, and campaigning within the health system to ensure that every person with HIV has access to quality, comprehensive prevention, treatment, care, and support services to live a healthy life.
That's incredible work. How did you get involved with the civil society participation in provincial legislature?
This was the time we attended the legislature in Limpopo, where we wanted to submit our concerns or the memorandum with whatever we are demanding from the department. And the organization was there to assist us on how we should submit our complaints and how to do advocacy through legislature. And we are seeking to achieve everything that we are submitting as an organization, that we see that the Department of Health and other departments that we are demanding this from, they are not responding to it. And would like also to engage with local offices, whereby we'll be involved with MPLs who will assist us to take our concerns and advocacy issues to provincial and national legislature so that we can be able to achieve our program.
Based on the description that you just shared about your organization, can you briefly just tell us what the role and responsibility of a civil society organization is?
Just that the organization is doing the advocacy. We are also doing the facility monitorings in health facilities that branches has access on them. And we are also training other partners and other organizations that we are working with on the prevention and treatment literacy programs. And we are also liaising with the Department of Health, when we see other challenges that are being reported by our community members and what we are the findings of the facility monitorings that we are conducting in health facilities.
What responsibility has your organization taken and how does it interact with the community to achieve your goals?
One, we have developed the relationship with community stakeholders, whereby we sometimes conduct community dialogues when we collect the challenges that community members are encountering when they access healthcare services in different health facilities. And we interact with community leaders in different areas where we have branches, and then we cluster branches when we do the community dialogues so that we can get different ideas from different areas, and then we consolidate the findings that we are finding in community dialogues. And then we submit them to the relevant structures, or we develop advocacy initiatives on the findings from the communities.
As an ordinary citizen, what do you think prevents public participation?
It depends on who is conducting the public participation and the way the public participation has been planned, whether the stakeholders in the community were involved and the community leaders were involved in planning the participation. So if ever the involvement of community stakeholders and leaders was not done, it means that the public participation will not take place, or it will not be effective. Because when we plan this, we should also involve all community stakeholders for assistance and for community mobilization, so that we can get different ideas from different people, as people are not encountering same challenges in health facilities.
We know that communication is very important within any form or any system in place. How important is communication between the community, civil society organizations, and the government? And how do you maintain it?
The communication with the community should be effective. And as TAC, we have an effective and functional relationship with traditional leaders and stakeholders in different communities, because these people are the ones who are assisting us to access their community members. And other CSOs, we are using them to assign some of the duties that we know that our organization cannot do, for them to assist us in making sure that they address some of the challenges that we cannot address as the organization. And we have a very good working relationship with the Department of Health, so that we can be able to access their facilities and be able to advocate wherever we think we encountered challenges in our health facilities and in our communities. Because as the organization, we have to make sure that the relationship between us and the government is in good standing, so that we can be able to access everything we need and be able to address whatever advocacy initiative we're having as the organization, collectively with other CSOs and community members.
In terms of skills acquired, what has the program taught you thus far?
Since we were involved in the program, we now know that some of the issues are to be addressed in legislature, and we know the procedure of submitting issues to legislature and how we could do that. And also, we are learning that it is important to develop the relationship with members of the parliament in our areas, or in the institutions, where they are functioning in local areas, so that we can be able to access information from them and be able to submit the complaints and challenges through them to different legislatures. It is either in the provincial legislature, it can be in the national legislature, it can be in a local and district council, so that our issues can be addressed faster than going to a certain department to demand some of the challenges that we want it to be addressed. So through that way, we see it being simple to have these skills to work on.
Growth is a very important phase in success. What have you come to realize, good and bad, about your community and the civil society organization during the program?
The good thing that we have realized about our communities and CSOs is that our communities are waiting for us to speak out, or our communities are waiting for us to come with initiatives so that we can be able to assist them to submit the challenges and whatever they have as a challenge in respective communities for health issues. And without us, communities are unable to work. That is the good thing, that we have presence in different communities. But the bad thing is that communities are waiting for us to come with the initiative so that they can follow. And some of the CSOs are also not aware of their tasks as civil society organizations. They need guide from TAC to guide them, because there are some of the issues that TAC cannot address, but in their respective organizations, they are able to address that. But then even them, the bad thing is that they are waiting for us to come with the initiative. But the good thing is that some of these organizations are there to assist us and partner with us to make sure that we can give them some of the issues that we think they can be able to handle or address.
It is said that platforms are created to enhance opportunities. What actions have you taken during your participation in this program, and how can your engagements with the provincial legislature assist you in this regard?
It's not everything that we are complaining about that needs the Department of Health to address, but some of the issues need the Treasury to address them. We have been able to identify that, because now in our province we have the challenge of vacancies that are not filled, and when we engage the Department of Health, they want to appoint these people in these positions. But because Treasury is saying they don't have money to pay these people, then the Department of Health is unable to appoint. Therefore, we feel it possible for us as the organization, and we feel that this is important to engage the Treasury in the province, so that they can assist and they can hear the voice of the community members who are complaining about the vacancies that are not filled. And if we want to see the program in the Department of Health functioning, it means that the Treasury has to make sure that they allocate enough budget for the Department of Health to be able to have the comprehensive quality healthcare services to our community members.
As civil society, what are the three factors or characteristics do you think will help stakeholders and communities and the country at large achieve a fair and sustainable democracy?
Number one, community stakeholders should be able to form a coalition in between the local municipalities that will be used as a voice of different community members in that respective municipality. Two, civil society organizations should take a lead on every initiative that the community members want to achieve, so that it can be easy for a collective civil society organizations to can be able to consolidate all the challenges that are being raised by different communities. So it means that CSOs should meet maybe quarterly to consolidate all the challenges. The last thing is that community leaders should be involved in every planning and in every initiative, so that they can be aware of what their communities need, and they can be able to assist whoever is leading this campaign, so that we can speak with one voice with our community leaders and different stakeholders and civil society organizations.
Goals are made of little parts of long-planned strategies. What have you accomplished during the program, and what does it mean for your organization?
In this program, we have acquired different skills, approach, how can we develop the campaigns, and how can we do a monitoring and evaluation of the campaigns that we are conducting as the organization. And in our organization, it means that this program is also assisting us, and it is simplifying things for us as an organization that is conducting advocacy, to know the protocols and how to engage legislature for them to assist in our needs, and how can we address the advocacy issues that we are always consolidating in monthly basis, that are reported from the facilities and from communities.
Lastly, what advice would you give to an upcoming or struggling civil society organization?
Start working with other CSOs. And I would also want to urge the different CSOs that are struggling, that is not a sin to seek for assistance from successful CSOs, or from the CSOs that you think they are doing better than you. You can be able to seek advices how they are doing their things in their organizations, that you can be able to achieve whatever you want to achieve and be able to become strong, and you know the protocols. As I was saying, that even us, we are learning something through this program that we were not aware of as the organization, and that is making us, the organization, to be strong and to be able to follow some of the protocols that we're not following in our last advocacy initiatives. And this will assist us to make sure that we submit our things to relevant departments, so that it can be addressed easily and in time. Thank you.
Thank you for joining our conversation with Democracy. We hope you enjoyed the expertise with our guest, Daniel Matibula from Treatment Action Campaign, and that you received tactical ways to go and contribute within your community under all the needs brought to you. Join us again soon with more stories and conversations with Democracy.